May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3, and we'll read the first four verses. The Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, and reading verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How often, as we read the New Testament and as we read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, we find that he continually directs our minds to the difference between the things of the earth, the things of time, and the things of heaven, the things which are eternal. And quite clearly it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to direct us, young and old, to think upon the things of God. How easy it is to find ourselves taken up with the things of the earth. And yet the things of the earth will quickly pass away. And especially perhaps the young people and the children amongst us to realize that we live now on the earth in what we call time. But our time on this earth is fast passing away. And the years quickly go. And very soon we shall be out of time. You know, sometimes there are those competitions which are done and people enter into. And they have a time limit. And they have to complete everything within that time. And it comes that they are out of time and they can't do any more. It's the same with examinations, isn't it? The young people know what examinations are. We have a time set to produce the answers and give that which is necessary. But it comes that situation where we're told to stop and we're told to finish because the time has ended. That time given to answer the questions. Well, in a much greater and a much more important way, you and I live on the earth just for a period of time. Perhaps you might think, well, is that relevant? Well, it's relevant in that way because really you and I are facing a continual examination. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. That means whether we are spiritually alive or not. And there is, you might say, that examination which continues for us in life. And it's good, therefore, if we are able to question ourselves whether under the influence of the Spirit of God, we ask ourselves the great question with regards to whether we are spiritually alive. Because the time for answering that question will one day finish. We shall not be able to ask ourselves the question anymore, because we shall be out of time. What a good thing it will be if you and I have had the examination and we've been able to answer the question adequately, that we've been able to answer it correctly, and we've been able to answer it in the fear of God, and we've come to the great and wonderful conclusion that it is therefore well with our soul. And this is something that you and I should not therefore deter from considering. You know, in our school life and our college life, we can't usually avoid examinations, can we? And also, we can't avoid knowing what the result is for those examinations. And it's the same really in our spiritual life. There is that examination which we can't really avoid, and there will be a result which all of us will hear. We'll all know what the great judge of the earth brings to us as to whether that examination has been passed or whether that examination has failed. Now then, if that examination has been passed, the wonderful blessing is that we shall be found in heaven at last forever. And if that examination we failed, we shall be in hell forever and ever with the devil and his angels. And so the great question will be to know that we are amongst those who have received what we refer to as the grace of God, which is the free, unmerited favor of God, which directs us to examine ourselves and to find in that examination that we are not good people, that in actual fact, we're bad people. And in actual fact, we come under condemnation because we have offended God, because we have sinned against God. And therefore, we're not good people. We are indeed bad people. And we need then to be made good people. And we should only be made good people through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to save us, to deliver us from that condition of condemnation which we are all under because of our sin, because of our disobedience before a holy God. So these things are very, very important. And just to conclude on this introduction, you know, the examination of our soul is far more important than the examinations we take in life. Because the examinations we take in life refer only to the things of this life. But the examination of our soul refers to the eternal state that we shall spend in eternity. And so I'm sure we can all understand, young and old, the great importance of passing God's examination as he tests us as to whether we do possess the life of God in our soul. And really, this comes back to the very first little word in this first verse of this third chapter of the Colossians, where the apostle, as he speaks to the church of Colossae, and he says, if, it's a great question, isn't it, for all of us, if, and then he goes on, if ye then be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, if you and I are risen with Christ, what it means is that through the favor of God, through the blessing of God, you and I have been born again. We now possess the favor of God. We now possess spiritual life. We now possess the light of God shining into our hearts. And this, you see, is the great and important thing that all of us need to know. So that in answer to this question, if, as we are given grace to examine ourselves, we can conclude, yes, I am, by the grace of God, risen with Christ. I am alive forevermore. When God gives this great gift of spiritual life, it is a life which is never taken away. It is a life which ever lives. Well, what a blessing. What a wonderful thing that is. And I'm sure all of us can appreciate the great importance, therefore, of possessing this wonderful gift of being risen with Christ. It means that we are united to Christ. It means that we are indeed one of his children. And Jesus spoke about this, and spoke about how we need to come right down to little babes. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 25, this is what we read. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So what he means there is that these things are not naturally understood. You and I can't get out a textbook and therefore learn it all up and therefore come to an examination and pass the examination because of our learning. We only come and pass the examination because of what God has come and graciously given to us. And that which he has given to us is the gift of eternal life. And if God has given us that gift of eternal life, it will because we've come right down to ignorant little babes. Babes don't know very much, do they? But what a blessing it is if the Holy Spirit of God has come and has revealed himself to us and has shone his light into our hearts, so that we can therefore say, yes, praise God, yes, thankful to God, yes, bless God, I am risen with Christ. Well, all of us today, all of us must answer that question. You see, you can't answer the question for anybody else. I can't answer the question for anybody else, because it is between our souls and God, that we may have the wonderful evidence that we are born again of the Spirit of God. And these things, as the apostle tells us here, those things which are above, these things are not of the earth, these things are heavenly things, these things are eternal things, these things will never be taken away. They will never vanish. They may sometimes become a bit dim. You know, naturally, as we see the sun shining, we think, this is wonderful, a lovely blue sky and a wonderful sun shining, and we can appreciate that. And sometimes then the clouds come up and the clouds cover the sun and we can't see the sun. But the truth is, the sun is still shining. The sun is still there. It's just been covered for a while with cloud. Clouds don't last forever. My friends, that's the same in our spiritual life. Yes, what a blessing when the sun, and we can think of that in a spiritual thought, the sun of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ shines into our heart. And what a wonderful sight it is. It warms our soul from coldness and it brings light from darkness. It's a wonderful and glorious revelation, and we praise God for it. And then there may be a time perhaps when clouds come and seem to cover the sun, but the sun's still there. And in that situation, we have to pray unto God, because it may be that our sins have come and separated between us and our God. They've caused a cloud to come between. Sometimes a cloud may be very dark, and it may seem as though perhaps there never will be any light again. Well, the Lord is able and the Lord is willing to come and take away the cloud and to reveal himself to us again as the glorious light of the gospel, as that wonderful Savior who has taken away all our sin, removed it all, yes, far away, and reveals to us his love, his grace, his mercy. And then you see, the blessing is we can then, by his grace, see with clarity the wonderful plan of salvation. And that clarity shows to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to produce that deliverance, he died upon that cross at Calvary to take away our sins. And that death was so great and so important and so valuable, and it involved his blood being shed as the evidence that his life had been taken. And therefore, what a glorious scene it is, and what a time of spiritual life there is, and spiritual night there is, and spiritual rejoicing there is. And so the apostle here directs us to this scene, not an earthly scene. An earthly scene will only bring us into darkness. A spiritual scene will bring us into heavenly light. And that's really what the apostle is homing in here in this account to the Colossians. And as I've said, if you read all the epistles, you will find again and again, he directs the church of God to heavenly realities. And so today, may our heart, may our mind be directed to heavenly realities. And may we therefore recognize this great truth, if, and may we come out the right side of this, if, ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It's a great truth. It's a wonderful truth. If you and I can believe and understand the Lord Jesus Christ, when he finished his work on this earth to save our souls, to redeem our souls, he then went down into that sepulcher, and then on the third day, he rose again, a conqueror, arose again, a conqueror. And what a blessing if we are amongst those who rise with him. Excuse me. And who will indeed rise with him eternally. But the Saviour rose, and then he ascended up to glory. He ascended to his Father to sit on the right hand of his Father on the throne in glory. And there he is. And there he sits today. Just think of the wonder, of the glory, of the favor, of the blessing of this same Jesus there, seated on the Father's right hand, and yet at this very moment in time, looking upon us as we are before him in worship. Well, does that rejoice your heart, rejoice your soul? I hope it does. Because if you and I are amongst those who are risen with Christ, these are the truths which bring joy and peace into our heart, because they are eternal realities. They are things which will not fade away. No, they may have a cloud sometimes covering them from our view, but they are the same. Jesus does not change. He remains ever the same glorious Saviour. And so we have this statement here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek after these things. And the word of God tells us this. Be encouraged. Seek and ye shall find. Don't stop seeking. Seek and ye shall be found. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. To knock at the door of mercy. The Lord will open that door. There you and I will see the glory of Emmanuel's land. Well, here is this gracious encouragement for us today. We may live in a dark world, but blessed be God. Our Saviour is not dark, because he is the light of the world, and the light shines from him into the souls of his people, that eternal light which will never, never go out through eternity. Pause and consider the greatness of these things. And so he says, seek those things which are above. He doesn't say seek all the things on this earth. And if you and I just stop for a moment, it's good perhaps sometimes to stop, you young people. You live in a mad world, a world rushing along. Just sometimes stop and consider. What are you to stop and consider? I'll tell you what you're to stop and consider. The things of the world perish. The things of eternity last forever. And it's good, therefore, if you and I can be moved by the Holy Spirit to consider the reality of eternal things and to compare them with the trivialities, the relative trifles of the things of time. As you know, I don't often refer to things in my own life. I don't want people to think too highly of me, but you might just think of this little account, which the Lord was gracious to me many years ago, when I was a teenager at school, and they were choosing prefects. Well, I'm sure many of you young people know what that's all about. And of course, prefects are quite important when we're at school. And anyway, they were choosing these prefects, and I thought I had a good chance of being elected a prefect. And the head came into the room and called out the names of all the people that were to be prefects. And as you went down the list, one after another, my name was not included. And when it was completed, one of my friends who was sitting next to me, who was chosen to be a prefect, he turned to me and he said, "Oh, tough luck, Steve. Sorry about that." And the Lord then dropped in these words: "Trifles are theirs, a kingdom yours. Trifles are theirs, a kingdom yours." Well, I didn't know where it was. So it was a powerful word, and it didn't disappear. And I went home and I looked in the Bible and got a concordance and couldn't find it. And I thought, well, that's very strange, but the word didn't disappear from me. And it wasn't until months, or I think perhaps years later, I suddenly realized that it was a line of a hymn. It's a line in our hymn 257. "Trifles are theirs, a kingdom yours." But the blessing was that that word had a good effect insofar as for the next year, because obviously the prefects were chosen for the following year. For the whole of that year, really, although several of my friends were prefects and I wasn't, I was never envious, I was never jealous, and I was very happy to be amongst those who were blessed with the gift of that eternal kingdom, the kingdom of glory. So we see how important indeed eternal things are by comparison with the trifles of this earth. And so the apostle goes on to say, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God," those eternal blessings in heaven. We don't know really what they consist of. "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that the Lord has prepared for his church," but we do know they will be very wonderful. We know they will be very glorious. So then the apostle comes and he says, "Therefore, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth." That is indeed a very important and a very wonderful and a very precious word from God. And it's something that you and I needs to constantly be aware of and constantly be reminded of, because it is very easy to have our affections set on the things on the earth. And so the Lord puts it very positively, strikingly so. He directs us first to the heavenly things. "Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth." Now the Lord is so gracious, he gives us such a word to remind us of the importance of heavenly things, because heavenly things are eternal blessings. And to think that by the favor of God, not because what we've done, not because what we merited, but all because of the love of God, the love of Christ. You can think of that in three ways: the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit all combine in love to redeem our souls. It's a wonderful consideration. It's a really good thought and a very good meditation to consider the wonder of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all concerned, all united with regards to the redemption of your soul, my soul, indeed the saving of our soul, and are directing our affections, therefore, to things above and not on things on the earth. Now, we live on the earth, I know that. And the things on this earth, obviously, are important to us. But we ought to say they are relatively important to us, because we always need to combine it with the relevant condition of the eternal state of our souls. And that, you see, puts things then into a good and a right perspective. You see, the devil will always try and blot out the importance of eternal realities. He will almost try, but he does try, to persuade us that the things of time are the most important things, that we should concentrate greatly on the things of time and not so much on the things of eternity. Well, the things of time vanish. The things of eternity are forever. And so, says the apostle, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's a very clear statement, isn't it? You and I don't need to have great education to understand the great and simple truths of God and the great and simple direction that God gives to us. We are so thankful that the Lord sets before us in simple words important things. And here is an important consideration: to set our affection, your affection, my affection, your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And so he goes on, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, at one time we were dead to the things of God, and we were alive unto the things of the earth. What a great blessing, therefore, those things have been reversed. They've only been reversed because of the goodness and the mercy and the favour of Almighty God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the Trinity. Wonderful, isn't it? To think of that. You and me as utterly unworthy sinners, utterly unworthy of any notice of God. We don't deserve any notice, do we? You know, that's a good thing when the Holy Spirit shows us that. We don't deserve any notice. We're just too sinful, too black. What a mercy when the Lord looks upon us and comes and gives us the great gift of eternal life. And so then this word then stands out, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, I hope your life and my life may indeed be hid with Christ in God, and that we may be seeking first the eternal blessings. And indeed, the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth and he preached that wonderful sermon, which we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, and we find it in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse, this is what the Lord says: but seek ye first, not second, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What that means is that every needful thing, every necessary thing for you and me as you and I pass through this life, will be given to us. But the great and important thing is to be found seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, you might come back to that very first little word in the first verse, if are we seeking first? Have we sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness? This is the gracious word, the gracious instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we therefore be concerned that we come within such a glorious statement. Well, says the apostle, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Well, this is a sure and certain statement. The Lord will appear. Yes, the Lord wonderfully will appear to all his saints when they leave this earth, when they die. If you and I are still on the earth before the Lord returns, the Lord will appear. We won't be alone. The Lord will appear when we pass out of time into eternity. When Christ, who is our life, he was the apostles' life, as we thought recently in that first chapter of the Philippians, our meditations on a Friday evening. Yes, but the apostle says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was very familiar, wasn't he, with this great and wonderful truth. And so when Christ, who is our life, well, this morning, as we may set the examination before Almighty God, is this true? Have we passed the examination? And by the favor and grace and love of God, can we say, yes, Christ is my life? It's a big question, isn't it? That's an important question. But bless God, if he is your life, and he'll be very real and very precious to think that this great Saviour has given his life to remove our sin, to take it all away. The only way it could be removed was that Christ died for our sins. Yes, bless God. And so when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That is the position. That is the truth of God. That is the promise of God. That is that which God's children can rely upon. That when we pass out of time, it will be to go and to be with Christ, which is far better. Why is it far better? Well, there's no sin in glory. There's no sadness. What is there? Happiness, joy, peace. And we shall be with all those blessed Christians, all the whole Church of God, who are like-minded, who are blessed to receive this glorious grace of God, and who are now enjoying the pleasures of glory eternally. And so when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. You see, we won't be alone, because we shall be, as the hymn writer says, forever with the Lord. No separation. Forever with the Lord. Surely that is a wonderful and a blessed consideration, and a wonderful and a glorious prospect. So there may we today be thankful to God that we have such a statement as we meditated on this morning in this third chapter of the Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen.